You all didn't know I was preaching. Look how many people's here.
That's true. Well, we keep it a secret.
Yeah, thank God for that. Well,
Oh, my beloved.
Oh, God. God, you are good. Too good to not be true. He is too good for it to not be true. Don't tell me he can't do it.
That's right.
Don't tell me that. They will, but in this house, the house of God, the house of prayer, the house where we see this is the church of the living God. This is not the church of the, well, probably show up today, Lord, you know, or the church of, well, maybe something good's going to happen, or no. We have expectation of who he is to us, what he's done for us, what he's going to do for us. Why? Because he loves you. Because he ever is thinking about you. He pursues for 100% of the heart. He pursues. He will not stop pursuing you until you're completely his. It's his desire. It's his plan. It's his purpose. Are we worthy of that? Well, come on. He's just good. He's just good. It's what he wants to do because he is God. And miracles. I mean, did we not just see the children and what God is beginning to do? Did we not just hear God?
Yes.
And what he wants to do within each of us. And like I said before, I've been the recipient of so much that God has done for me. There are at least 5 different times in my life that I should have been dead. At least 5. And yet I stand before you. Why? Because God says he wants me to. Not by any act or will of myself, but because of who he is. Think in your life, should you be here at this point in your life? Or have there been opportunities when you wouldn't be here, but you are? And the miracle of you sitting here today is that we are professing who our God is. That in the perfection of God, of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves fully involved in his love for us. I need to talk for just a couple of minutes before we get started here about myself a little bit. You're going to hear a couple of things, and I really wish this wasn't on, but you're going to hear a couple of things that I don't talk about, that I just don't. I don't like talking about myself at all, and Deb will attest to that. I'm not overly comfortable getting up in front of people. It's not really what I want to do. But here I am today. This little farm kid from Kansas. God said, you'll live. When I was a week old, I was dying. The doctors didn't know what to do with me or what to do for me. And my mom and dad started to pray, and they took me to the doctor, and they didn't know what to do. And I bear a scar that's probably about that long on my side that proves that God was faithful to me with them being able to help me. So I grew up, went along, and I grew up in a church and in a situation where this is how I saw God. I got my eye on you. I'm coming after you at some point because you're a kid, which means you're already a mess. And because you're a boy, you're a double mess. And I'm waiting for you to mess up because I am going to punish you. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to show you that I'm God and you're not. And that's the God that I grew up with as I went along. I didn't want to go into his house because that's where he was. And something was not going to go right, and I was going to feel responsible for it. I was going to feel like everything was wrong and everything was bad. And I went like that for a long time. And you know, when you feel like that, and when you think like that, you start to believe that you really are bad, that there really isn't a place for you, that there really isn't anything that's really, you know, a place for you to be. And so I just began to drink because it began to numb pain. I began to use drugs. Why not? I began to do all the things that were not going to help me at all. They just numbed pain. And I found myself completely overwhelmed with my life. It was out of control. I didn't know which way to turn. And here, friends, is the most wonderful part of our God. Jesus doesn't mind being the last option as long as he's an option. I tried everything. He's the best. He could be the last, but God, thank you, you're the best. And so I knelt down beside this hotel bed in Orlando, Florida. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was at the end of myself. All my tricks and all my things hadn't worked. I couldn't go back to homeless shelter. And so here I am. The most pathetic prayer you'll ever hear. God, if you're there at all, I really need your help. I really need your help. I can't do this. I'm going to die. I don't have any hope. I don't have anybody around me that cares. I don't have anybody around me that would consider me at all or give me a second look. So God, would you please help me? And the most amazing thing happened. My heart, like clothes, was opened up to the possibility of what if. What if a little kid who had given up on everything could still be with God and that he'd accept me? And you know, friends, it wasn't just my heart that was open to him. Wow. For the first time in my life, I was able to see what the truth of God is. And he said, Chuck, it was never this. It was always this. But I didn't have the sight to be able to see that. I didn't have what I needed to be able to process that the God of the universe doesn't hold against me that I'm human. He became a human so that he could show me the way to live a life that's worth living. I got up from that bed, still left-handed, still blue-eyed, hair color was a little different, but the heart was opened and the spirit was alive. That's my miracle. That's your miracle. We can't sit here and say God doesn't do miracles because, well, let's just take a little test. I'm standing, so I've told you what I was. Just nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. I'm seeing a lot of heads nod. Have you come out of an addiction? Have you come out of a bad situation? Have you come out of a life-threatening thing? And God was right there saying, here I am. I can't tell you why he doesn't do, but I can tell you what he does do. Yeah. I'm okay with the idea that I can't answer your questions. I can't. No pastor is ever going to be able to explain why me, why not you? Why this family and not that family? God is God. But I'll tell you this. I will pray with you with as much faith as is within me. Why? Because I'd love it if you do that for me. I'd love it if you just pray with all the faith that you have for the situation I'm going through, because I want to do the same for you, because it's true good to not believe it. And as we work this out with each other, what we're seeing is that they don't have any concept of that. They just live their life from one situation to another, from one day to another. Come on now. Come on. We know exactly how they feel and think because we did the same thing. So we know. There's freedom. There's freedom found in him. So, now I don't know why some of the things that have happened to me in my life have. I can't explain that to you either. But I want to see it happen with you. I want to see it happen with you. When we pray for anybody, be supernaturally natural. Just go up and just pray a simple prayer of faith, but with the faith you have, and then let's step back. Nice. And let's let God do what only God's able to do. Amen. Here's an example. And maybe this has happened with you, but this proves this has nothing to do with me. I mean, honestly, we just saw it on the song. My hand doesn't resurrect or heal anybody. Come on. But he can. Yes. So I'm praying for, I see a guy in town. And he can hardly get around. He's got such a bad back. He's all bent over. He used to be a runner and things like that. And so I see him up at the Milan store, of all places. And Deb and I just stopped to get the paper. Well, it's summertime. You got ATVs roaring up and down, and you got the normal traffic, which is loud. I pull up to get the paper, and he's standing there. And, you know, being supernaturally natural, hey, how's it going? That's a pretty spiritual question, right? How's it going? And he said, not good. Now, I have two choices. I can say, well, hope things work out, gotta go. Or I could do what people have done for me, which they've taken the time for me, and said, well, what's wrong? Well, again, what a spiritual question. What's wrong? And he tells me. Now I have another choice. I can say, you better get to the doctor, or go see Reggie.
But then I'll pray for you. So,
I'm pushing it off on you.
Forget it.
Yeah, I'm pushing it off on, no. It's like, well, can I pray for you? Why? Now, why would I ask somebody if I could do that? Because it's been done for me many times. So I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder just as a point of contact, just to pray, because I'm trying to get closer to him because it's so darn loud. So I start this prayer, The traffic's going up and down, and they're honking. We got people at the gas pumps that are talking. ATVs behind us that are revved up. And I got three guys that are behind us that are just laughing and joking and cussing like you wouldn't believe. So we got all that noise. So I pray just a simple prayer. I can't tell you honestly exactly what I prayed. Friends, I'm sure he didn't even hear the prayer. I would have been almost on top of him for him to even hear amen. But see, it isn't about that. It's about the obedience of show up and be available, and he's going to use you because he wants to bless other people. Well, okay, so obviously, right here now, he jumped up, he ran around the building four times and gave glory to God. No. Come on. What he did was he said, thank you for that prayer. I grabbed the paper, got in the car, and we went about our business. Why? It isn't about me. I'm not checking up on people saying, How are you feeling now? You doing okay? Well, I better pray again. No. You do your part and you step back and say, God, I release this person to your care. Well, about 2 weeks later, we were at the credit union and we go to get in, and this same guy, he comes running up. He runs faster than I can. And he runs up and gives me a big hug and says, I don't know what you did. I said, I don't know what I did either. But he said, I'm not walking. I'm back to running. I went back to work. I was able to do all these things that I couldn't do before. I'm shocked. And he said, thank you. I said, please don't ever thank me. Just thank God. Because it's what he wants to do for people. And then from there, he's off and running. Amen. Who's responsible for that? You bet he is. Get that finger up in the air. This one. Get that finger up in the air. It's him. It is about him. I want to encourage you about that, because we're all in some way a walking miracle of what God's done with us because of the situations we've lived, the life we've lived, the things we've gotten ourselves into, and basically the things he's gotten us out of. So I want to encourage you, be expecting God to work here. Deb and I are heading back home here Wednesday, and I want you to be encouraged with that. He's working here. He's starting something here. Have excitement and expectation that when you pray, when you're working with each other, when you're doing things with each other, that God isn't going to show up. You brought him into the situation. Have the release to let him go. Let the Spirit go within your life and do the things he wants to. Here's something about prayer that I learned too. You keep praying for that situation that's going on with you until he tells you to stop. He told Paul after three times, he goes, we're heading in a different direction, Paul. Get on board with what we're doing here. But if he didn't tell you that, you just keep praying. That's not a lack of faith. That's God. I know you love this person. I know that you love this person or this family or whatever. And Lord, I want you to work with them at a high level. I want you to get fully involved in their life, because that's what's important, right? That's what's important. So, Barbara, thank you for what you said last Sunday. I really am, I don't feel myself as a prophet, but I am so happy what happened with your son. I'm so happy, both. God is good. And you are prophetic. You are I declare it over you because you are, because every time you encourage each other with this, you are being prophetic. You are. Encourage each other with this every day. Every day. And you're speaking a prophetic word to someone. It's a word that's needed. My next best thought for you, and my next best opinion for you, is not going to help you. Only the word. The word is it. That's what we really need, and that's what we live by. So, and Kelly, you asked a simple question last week, which is needed. Are the gifts and the ministries of the church as valid today as they were in the ancient church?
Yes.
We need God more now than the church has ever needed. There's more darkness that covers the face of the earth now than there's ever been. And we need everything God has for us. The reason we don't see some of the things that they did is maybe we don't expect them to, because we haven't seen it, but we're starting to see it. Right, Claude?
Amen.
We're starting to see it. If it happened for them, it'll happen for us. What if? What if? And we need this. So, boy, Jerry, don't even worry about the scripture. I'm just going to run through it here real fast because I think we've already had two. Well, we've had one great sermon. I shouldn't even stir up. That's what we needed. But I do want to talk to you about the God who, in Ephesians 3:20, the God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. And I was thinking of David and Goliath. A simple story of a guy who really, you know, he had a struggle. He had a struggle. Let's see. Now, about 6 feet tall. But they say Goliath was about, let's see, six, about, oh gosh, about 3 more feet tall. Wow. I don't think David was 6 feet tall, do you? I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. So let's up it a little bit. Let's up it a little bit. Oh boy. Okay. Huh. Wow. How you gonna face a giant like that? How you gonna face a giant like that? Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, which you don't have to go to, but it was talking about that he prepared himself. Well, how did David prepare himself to go to face a giant? I mean, how did you do that? It's like, where's the manual for that? Well, it says, you know, he went to Saul and Saul said, this is a champion of your enemy. From a boy, he's been a champion warrior. You're a kid. He said, yes, but David told Saul, I was faithful in my duties as a shepherd. When the lion and the bear came to get the sheep, I fought and killed them. Friend, how do you get ready to face a giant going on in your life? You faithfully do your ministry. You faithfully live your life. You faithfully fight those smaller things that hinder you. You go after them. Don't let the devil have ground on you. You fight him. You fight him with everything within you. Don't you give in to him. Don't you give in to temptation. Don't you give in to these things. You fight those things because, you know, when the giant shows up, he's looking pretty tall. He's looking pretty tall. And we serve a God who says he can do immeasurably more than you can think or imagine. What's the giant that you're facing today? Be honest, come on. I put it right in the bulletin. Vicki, help me with it. Be honest. What is the giant this morning that you want freedom from? What's happening in your life that's taunting you like Goliath did the armies of Israel? He would sit there and said, bring out your best warrior and we'll fight. And then he would curse the God of Israel. He would curse the Israelites. And he would taunt them and say, come fight me. And they were so fearful that they ran away. And then David, the shepherd boy, shows up. And he gets indignant. He goes, Are you all deaf? Can't you hear him? Can't you hear him taunting you? Do you not know that the God of the armies of heaven will fight for you? Do you not know that he will help you? That he will be with you? And it burned in his heart that he wasn't going to let that giant get away with that. Brother and sister, don't let the giant in your life get away with stealing, killing, and destroying you or your family. Go after him. Go after him. Do what it is that you can do. Pray. Stand strong. Use the word. Be accountable to each other. Love each other. David defeated Goliath because it was in his heart and he knew that God would help him. And if you read the story, you're going to see the progression. First he goes to Saul and says, you're the king. You're going to go out there and fight him? Oh, no, 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 no. But I'll give somebody some money and I'll give them my firstborn daughter if they'll go fight him. Nobody took him up on that. Now, I don't know what that means about the daughter, but that's a different story. We won't talk about that. But, you know, bargaining isn't going to work. Bargaining doesn't work. It doesn't work with God. And Lord knows I've done my share. How about you? Oh, Lord, you know, if you just help me in this situation, if you just give me the finances that I need for this month, just to be able to get by. Lord, I'm gonna do this or I'm gonna do that. And the Lord is like, I don't bargain with people because I'm pursuing the heart. I want your heart. Everything else will follow. So then David says, he tells the army, he goes, I'm going to go out to Goliath. And they make huge fun of him and say, you're a kid. This isn't going to work. You're never going to do it. Anybody ever told you that? Anybody ever told you, that's not going to work? Or forget that. Now, come on. Come on. God doesn't work that way. Or God's not able to do that. Or God's not, well, how about this one? God's not interested in us. He's got all these other things going on. He couldn't possibly be interested in a little me and my family. Lie. A lie. And then the progression went all the way to he faced Goliath and said, I will kill you. I will kill you. You see the boldness that started to take place within David? That it started with, and there's a progression. And there's a progression in your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you get tired of this sin that so easily besets you and you can't get past it and it's overwhelming you and it's anxiety and it's depression and it's an overwhelming sadness and it's a loss and it's murderous intent towards people or bitterness or it's just intense anger or it's addiction. Or it's pornography of some, or it's fill in the blank. When those things come at you, they roar and say, who will fight me? And that's when the God within you wants to rise up and says, I will. I will not live in bondage to this. My God will help me. My God will help me to overcome this and set me free. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is so you and I can be free. It's so we can be free. Stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. When I live below his standard, I start to feel that yoke come on my shoulders again of, oh no, oh no. And I start to get burdened down again. And I start to feel as though that things are getting out of control again. And he says, let me lift that yoke off of you. The only time Jesus ever talked about himself, this is what he said. He said, come to me, all you who are burdened, heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls. Take my burden upon you. It's light. It's easier. And what he means by that is get in the yoke with him and let him carry the biggest load and find your freedom. My heart burns for people to have freedom from the things that are hurting them, from the things that they're ashamed of. There's no shame in him. There's no shame found in the face of Jesus. There's love. And there's acceptance. There's forgiveness. And that's all that we've ever wanted as human beings anyway. It's all we've ever really wanted. It's all I've ever really wanted is just to be loved. Just to have someone who cares enough to say, I see you. I know you. I love you. I'm going to just ask, I didn't talk to Reggie or Steve about this, but if you want freedom this morning, you know exactly where to get it. Maybe it's going to be during the worship songs that you're going to have a breakthrough. Please do not leave these four walls without finding the help if you need it. Please. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Come and get everything God has for you, because he's a great God. Don't let what someone else thinks keep you from what's yours. I think I'm going to stop there. The Lord bless all of you. Make his face shine upon you. Give you peace. Amen. Immeasurably more.